We are here at the Boehringer Ingelheim Swine Health Seminar in San Diego. With me is Dr. Dale Paulson, who we've spoken to at this event before. And the main theme of this event is vertical transmission. And specifically, Dr. Paulson talked about that related to PRRS and whether we've overlooked vertical transmission as far as PRRS is concerned. And that was the main question you tried to answer right away in your presentation. And what was the answer that you gave?
Using the classic definition of vertical transmission, I think the answer is no. I don't think we've overlooked it. But the classic definition is sow to pig, either through milk or placenta. And I think that's too narrow of a way to define the scope of vertical transmission.
And by defining that, you broadened it by first using an analogy to a waterfall.
Yeah, I think the analogy to the waterfall, if the waterfall is what is going on with sow to pig transmission in a herd that's breaking, and that's the vertical, the classic vertical transmission, sow to pig through placenta or milk, it's not just the waterfall. The water's also going somewhere, as it obviously is in the case of talking about pig flows. Where that water is going is it's going to other sites, which then themselves become waterfalls, and that's going to other downstream sites, which then themselves are waterfalls as well. And so I think there's a broader scope to think of vertical transmission beyond just sow to pig. In the case of genetic flows from nucleus to daughter, nucleus to multiplier to commercial, in the case of boar stud to commercial sow farm to downstream growing pig as an example. I think all of that it's fair to describe as vertical transmission.
We've talked about the economic impact of PRRS before. You really put it in perspective by comparing it to the national debt and its impact on individual households. Tell us about that.
Well, as of right now, national debt's about $16.5 trillion. The cost of PRRS in its history is about $16-plus billion. And so if you just look at the raw numbers, it's not even a comparison. $16.5 trillion is just so monstrously bigger than $16.5 billion. But there's 115,000 households, or I'm sorry, 115 million households in the United States. There's about 70,000 farms. To the extent that a household equates to a farm, which I think that's a fair analogy, the cost per household of national debt is actually smaller than the cost per farm in the U.S.
That's pretty interesting. Now, you also used another great analogy, the Where's Waldo analogy regarding this type of pathogen.
Yeah, with measuring vertical transmission, I like that analogy of Where's Waldo, because you look at those Waldo pictures and it takes you a long time to pick him out of the picture. When PRRS first breaks in a farm, there's Waldos everywhere, saying Waldo is a PRRS positive pig equivalent, okay? But as the prevalence declines, things get better, pigs look better, the chance of finding Waldo is slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. But not finding Waldo in those situations can still have huge implications, especially if people pull the trigger on, say, it's now time to send pigs into a negative area, or it's now time to use these pigs in areas that need to remain negative, and that go into flows and sites where they do want to keep a negative stable state.
I love the way you explain things. It's just so visual. But we can still do that in audio. Now, we have to talk about where the wild viruses are in the Franken-PRRS. Relate that. Tell us how you... Great slides again.
Yeah, I think in terms of measurement, we know a lot about how to sample and how to test whether there's virus there or not. But one of the biggest black boxes is what constitutes, and I don't like the term strains. I think it's a very poorly chosen word applied to PRRS. And so I'll just say groups. One of the things that we don't have a very good understanding at all about is what constitutes differences among viruses and what the implications of those differences are. And so I like the analogy of where the wild things are, because one of the things that we assume, but we don't necessarily know because we haven't done a good job of applying the tools and adapting the tools to measure, is where did the new viruses come from? When do they emerge? And what gets them cranked up and amplified to start spreading around? I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done, which, so in this discussion, have we overlooked the importance of that aspect of measurement? I think we have. I think there's a lot of things that we can do. There's certainly a lot of exploration that needs to be done so that we can use that in operational sense for day-to-day decision-making.
Okay. Well, now, I guess it comes down to then how do we manage vertical transmission? And one of the ways you talked about that is area management.
Yeah. I think, and that's why I used the waterfall analogy applied to the map of, say, in a specific area, is that it's not just this vertical cascade, but it's that the bore stud is over here in this location, and the downstream places where it's sending the virus are spread out potentially all over the country in the case of a bore stud. In the case of a genetic nucleus, same risk. And so it's not just this nice, well-defined cascade up and downstream, or downstream in the vertical sense, but the downstream not just cascades in one direction, but it really sprays out. Okay, and so it's spraying out in many different directions, not just in a strictly vertical sense.
So I think you said vertical, horizontal, vertical, horizontal.
Yeah, and that's the vicious cycle of transmission, is that when you talk about transmission and say, well, is the biggest problem vertical? Is it biggest problem horizontal? It's a chicken and egg question. Vertical begets horizontal, which begets vertical, which, you know, they lead to the other, and it's just this cycle.
Interesting. Now, some of the things you also talked about that we might have overlooked were a collaboration as a tool and the behavioral aspects.
Yeah, I think so much of our focus as an industry and in the profession of veterinary medicine has been on the technical elements. I mean, we like the facts. We like the applying characterized interventions. But I think something that we commonly overlook, or we commonly assume is going to happen, is that we get the people aspect of it, the behavioral aspect of it, right. And I don't mean just within a farm, because within a farm, you know, you've got procedures, you've got ways of people being held accountable for what they do or don't do at the farm or at the business level. What I'm talking about is among businesses within areas, or among businesses that have connections between areas, you know, far detached geographically. I think one of the things that we need to spend a lot more time and effort doing is learning how to collaborate actively among farms, among business entities within areas. I mean, to me, the analogy I really like is the golden rule, right? The golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. The golden rule applied to PERS is transmit unto others as you would have others transmit unto you. Okay, so if we have that in mind, I think that fosters a spirit of collaboration, because what I do for you is going to benefit me, and the reverse is true.
Finally, your last point was that this is vertical transmission is non-negotiable. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that if we're ever going to have a prayer of dealing with PERS effectively, effectively dealing with vertical transmission has to happen. I mean, there's no question. We can't effectively manage PERS without first effectively managing vertical transmission, even in the traditional sense, but certainly in the broader sense as I tried to describe today.
All right, very good. Thank you very much. Dr. Dale Polson here at the Boehringer Ingelheim Swine Health Seminar in San Diego. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.